What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus being God. Actually, Jesus claiming to be God. A lot of folks say that Jesus didn't even claim to be God and that Christians have it wrong. So we're going to look at two proofs from the gospel. One is a proof of deductive reasoning, which arguably isn't a proof, but we're going to see if through deductive reasoning, it is more reasonable to believe that Jesus claimed to be God than Jesus did not claim to be God, number one. And then we're going to look at, in my opinion, the most cut and dry, one and done, the only argument you have against what Jesus said, recorded in the book of John, is that, well, it doesn't mean what you say it means. So let's get right into it. Remember, we have our sponsor, Be A Mindful Soul, www.beamindfulsoul.com. You know, often people need a listening ear and support as they work through the varied situations of life. Sometimes these situations are so complex and overwhelming that you need some support. This is why LaBeth started Be A Mindful Soul. At Be A Mindful Soul, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to help finding a professional in your area if needed. Be sure to go to www.beamindfulsoul.com and check out all the services she has to offer. She can also help you answer your questions about therapy treatment or other mental health services that you might need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationships, with relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. Folks, I highly recommend going to www.beamindfulsoul.com and availing yourself of everything that LaBeth has to offer. John chapter 10, verse 30. We'll look at that. I'm interested. I'm very well familiar with John 10, but I cannot remember what John chapter 10, verse 30 says exactly. Let me go over there and look at it. John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Yes. So let me tell you what the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Muslims are going to do with that. They're going to say he does not claim to be God, that he just claims that he and his Father are one. And they've got a good point there. Like, this really, John 10, 30 is not a good verse that proves that Jesus is God. It proves that Jesus and God are in fellowship with one another, because that's what Jesus is praying for when he says, "Father, neither pray I for these alone, but all those that shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as I, our Father, in thee, and thou in me, that the world may know that thou hast sent me." If we are in fellowship with God, we are at one with God. We are, that's what atonement is, becoming in the state of being at one, being reconciled, being made one with God. So that's for us, that's a good proof. I mean, because quite frankly, if we prove that Jesus is claiming to be God and God the Father and God the Son are one, then if God the Father is in fellowship with God the Son, then anything that God the Son says has to then be true. But again, that's the Jehovah's Witness, or they're not going to. I've used that, and it doesn't. The Muslims and the Jehovah's Witness just don't. They don't cotton to that. And I can see why. But we're gonna look at the one and done, where Jesus explicitly states that I am, and then he doesn't say deity. But we're gonna notice from the context that that's exactly what he means. But before we go to that, let's go to John chapter 5, And let's look at a logical conundrum here. All right. Let me get my marker out where I don't tear the page of my Bible. All right. John chapter 5. Listen to this. Now, this is right after the healing of the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. Okay. The Jews got angry with Jesus and they wanted to know why he violated the Sabbath. Well, he claimed to be the Son of God. All right. Now listen to verse 39. Okay. Listen to verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them. Nope. That's a good verse. That's not what I wanted. Tony, bear with me. I had that verse highlighted and it was right there. Oh man, it's John chapter 5, verse 18. I'll get it out in a minute. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now look, this is the John 5:18 is not a verse where Jesus explicitly states that he's God on earth. However, the Jews understood exactly what it meant for Jesus to claim being the Son of God. That's why they wanted to kill him. Ask yourself this. Why did the Jewish leadership hype the people up and kill Jesus? They knew he was a miracle worker. Remember the council that, you know, what do we with this man, for it? He doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, the whole world will follow him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. And Caiaphas said, know ye nothing at all, that one man should die that the whole nation might live? They would not have killed him if he was just claiming to be a prophet. They would not have killed him if he was simply claiming to be the king of the Jews. No, the Jews killed him. The Jews killed Jesus. They're the ones that called for his crucifixion. Pontius Pilate washed his hands and said, I'm going to let the Jews choose. Like, I don't see where you're getting that. We got a guy in the comment section that claims to be a Messianic Jew. And anyway, this fella here, he was claiming to be Adonai. He was claiming to be God in the flesh. There's no getting around that. That's why the Jews killed him. And if you say the Jews didn't kill him, then you're not a Messianic Jew. You deny the scriptures. I appreciate you commenting and everything, but the Jews killed Jesus. It was not Pontius Pilate. Now, Pontius Pilate played a part in it. But if you'll remember, Pontius Pilate tried to come out and say, look, I'm giving you an out. I find no fault in this man. So we're going to let you choose. Do you want a free, as your custom is, do you want a free Barabbas? Or do you want to free this man whom I say is innocent, in whom I found no fault? All right, we're going to did get him, but because he claimed that, read Hosea 11:9. 1 Timothy 2:5. I'm not going to read any of those because you're denying the scriptures. I will go read those if you will, in the comment section, concede and say, yes, the Jews killed Jesus and Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh. Unless you're going to admit to that, there's nowhere else in scripture that I'm going to go, because John 5:18 is explicit. He claimed to be the Son of God, making himself equal with God. He claimed to be the Son of God, making himself equal with God. The Jews knew exactly what that claim was. But here, and it's Jesus, by the way, that foolish Yeshua. It's Jesus. Why are you saying Yeshua? Anyway, we don't speak Hebrew. We speak English. His name's Jesus. A lot of anti-Semitism, not all Jews. That's the dumbest statement I've ever heard in my life. Are you some kind of bigot? But a lot of anti-Semitism, not all Jews killed him. Paul, Jew, most of his disciples were Jewish. Okay. Pilate didn't kill him, though. The Jews killed him. The Jew, he was crucified by the Jews. That is incontrovertible. And I don't care if you say I'm anti-Semitic or not, the facts are the facts. The Jews killed Jesus. I'm just, good grief, man. All right. Now, he claimed to be the Son of God, so they sought all the more to kill him. They knew exactly what that claim was. All right. Now, he was crucified by Romans. You understand about agency, don't you? The Romans would not have crucified Jesus if it were not for the Jews. Pilate, all right? Pilate found no fault in him and wanted to exonerate him and set him free. So the Romans wanted to set him free. The Jews wanted to kill him, wanted to crucify him. I don't understand. Like this is incontrovertible. And I'm not going to go to the Gospels and read it, but I mean, even history bears that out. I don't get it. Oh man, Yeshua, what a mook. Good grief. Oh, here it was. Here's a good one. Yes, but did they do the act you love, Yeshua, but Matthew 15 called give the gent, whatever. Anyway, yeah, you're done. All right, we ain't going to mess with that anymore. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to get into it with anybody. Jesus died by the hands of the Romans, but it was the Jews that got him killed. It was a Jewish decision. I think somebody said that in the comment section. It was a Jewish decision. And the people were crying, crucify him, crucify him. The people that were crying, crucify him, those weren't Romans, they were Jews. Anyway, that's all I got. Now, so here's logically, is it the case that the Jews, do you think they didn't know what Jesus was claiming? If anybody says that Jesus did not claim to be God in the flesh, why did they kill him? I've never gotten a good answer for that. Why was Jesus killed if he did not claim to be God in the flesh? Period. All right. Now, let's go to John chapter 8. And like I said, this is the one and done. If I talk to somebody that doesn't believe that Jesus claimed, if I'm talking to somebody and they don't believe that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and then I show them this and they deny this, I wash my hands of them. I'm done with them, because there's no other more powerful passage of scripture when it comes to Jesus claiming to be the Son of God. Now, make no mistake about it, there are more, in my opinion, there are more other powerful passages of scripture that prove Jesus's deity. But that's not what's on the table. The question is, did Jesus ever claim to be deity? Did Jesus ever claim to be God in the flesh? Well, yes, he did. And there's no other verse of scripture more powerful to prove that Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh while he was on earth. Let's go to John chapter 8. Now, before you go into John chapter 8, you've got to understand the context. The context is all the way back in John 7, the beginning. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because of the Jews sought to kill him. I wonder if the fella that was arguing with me is still listening. The Bible says the Jews sought to kill him. Not the Romans, the Jews. And they accomplished it. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, dot, dot, dot. That's not important to the podcast. So, the Jews' feast of the tabernacle was at hand. This is where you go out as a Jew and you get some branches and stuff and you build a booth or a tent. And for a week you dwell in a tent. And you have these little oil lamps that you can hold in the palm of your hand, and they have a little wick, and you light the lamp, and the light from the lamp represents the time after God led the Israelites out of the Egyptian bondage, and it symbolizes the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of smoke by day. And everybody knows, whenever they were traveling in the wilderness, you had to follow the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of smoke by day, or you would be separated from the children of God. You would die in the wilderness. We are metaphorically as Christians in the wilderness, so we have to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, and we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse us from all sins. All right, that's 1 John chapter 1. So all of this stuff works together metaphorically, and all the symbolism goes back, and the iconography goes back to whenever God led the children of Israel in the wilderness. And we are ready to enter into a rest, which will be at the end of time. That's Hebrews 4, really. There's a dual application there. There's an application in the moment specifically, but there's a general application, and Christians are looking forward to a rest. That's an eternal rest. But when I go back to the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of Tabernacles rather, and I'm in Jerusalem, and then I see some Yahoo get up, and he says something that just sounds so crazy in my ears. Listen to what he says. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Well, folks, in the Feast of Tabernacles, what did the light represent? The light was God. The light was a physical manifestation in this plane of existence of God Almighty. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, meaning he's the physical manifestation of deity in this plane of existence. And the only way to deny that is to say, well, it just doesn't mean that. Folks, this is explicit. During the Feast of the Tabernacles, whenever they were to focus on the time when God, in a pillar of fire, light, led them around the wilderness in the proverbial darkness, Jesus gets up and says, I am the light of the world. Implying there was a time whenever Jehovah God was the light of the world. He led you around. Now I am the light of the world, and it's time for you to follow me. Do you think that they knew what that meant in the day that he said it? Well, obviously. I mean, we can, if we just think about it a little bit, we can know what he meant. So again, if I'm studying with somebody and they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and one of the reasons they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God is because he never claimed to be the Son of God, or he never claimed to be God, rather. When I say Son of God, I should change that. Jesus was God on earth. Now Jesus is God in heaven. The detractors, the people that deny the divinity of Christ, of Jesus, say that Jesus never claimed to be deity, to be divine, to be God on earth. John 8:12. He jumped up in the Feast of Tabernacles, where the light represented God, and he said, I am the light. That's the same thing as saying, I am God. He could have just as easily said, and got the same point across, listen, I am God in the flesh. Now you follow me. Because that was what would have been communicated. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also suffered the same things at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and do not please God, and are hostile to all men. 1 Thessalonians 2:14-15. Yeah, I wonder if our fella Yahushua is listening. That's a shame that he was so antagonistic. I'm like, dude, to say that the Jews didn't kill God or didn't kill Jesus. I'm not stupid. I know it was the Romans that actually did the crucifying. I know it was a Roman soldier that pierced his side. I know it was a Roman soldier that scourged him. I know it was a Roman soldier that nailed him to the cross, or multiple Roman soldiers. I'm not dumb. But it wasn't a Roman that called for his crucifixion. It wasn't a Roman that said, give us Barabbas. So if you can't even concede and say, yes, I see what you're saying, I'll concede that, yes, the Jews did kill Jesus. Well, then they're like, what more, where can you go from there? I get that sometimes from my brethren. Did you know that? They take something that you say that's general and interpret it in the worst possible light, and interpret it in the only way, and frame it in the only way that it could be wrong. I'm not going to give examples, but because I don't want to make anybody feel bad unduly, because I think some of those things recently have changed and been resolved. Reneo Rosado says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." Matthew 1:23. That's right. And again, though, so what the Jehovah's Witnesses and what the Muslims and stuff will do with that is, well, God is with the people, but representatively through his prophet, his messenger. So yeah, they got ways to get around that. But that's what I do. I always take them to John 8:12, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. What's the light in the context? The light represents God. Jesus says, I am God. Period. Yeah, I had someone say, who is this lesson for? We already know this. Oh, wow. Like, about this? Yeah. Here's the thing. Whenever somebody makes that objection, Jonathan, Who is this lesson for? We already know this. I am fully convinced that that is the first sign that says they do not know this. The person about this lesson here, someone who would say, well, we already know this. Who's this lesson for? They are the people that a Jehovah's Witness or a Muslim would absolutely turn on their ear. You know, really and truly. Yeah. Okay, gotcha, Bubba. Yeah, talking about fundamental lessons. Let me tell you something. This will be the last thing we talk about. I'm done with the material. This is a short podcast today. Where am I going? 1 Peter, 2 Peter. I can never remember which. I'll tell you in just a minute. Bear with me. Yeah, it's gotta be 2 Peter. Or it's not. Yeah, right here, verse 12. Wherefore, this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Oh, John had it there. 2 Peter 1:12. Yeah, that's the thing. Look, it's a 2,000-year-old book. Well, the youngest parts of it is 2,000 years old. You can only teach so much from it. You know, I know a lot of people like, trying to drain the Bible dry is like going to the ocean with a thimble. Yeah, I get it. Look, there is a finite amount of knowledge in the Bible. That's not a dig at God. That's a boon to his credit. What we need to know in order to take on the divine nature, in order to have the peace and consolation that comes from a knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, go read 2 Peter chapter 1, is very, very little. And evidently, Peter, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, said that as long as he's living, he's going to preach things to people that they already know. And that's what we need to do. And I think, I don't think it's gloom and doom for all the churches. I do think there are congregations that are having some issues. And I think where the Lord's church is in trouble today, some of the places where it has room for improvement, is because we have tried to get cute and clever, and we've, like the Athenians, we either want to hear or tell some new thing. Just teach the stuff. Give me that old school Jerusalem gospel. Give me that old time gospel. Just give me the Bible. I don't want to be innovative. Do not want to be innovative. I want to just, well, in fact, I think of what Paul told Timothy. You're going to be, and I can't remember the book, chapter, and verse. I do know it's in either 1 or 2 Timothy. And the reason I know it, because I was looking at this word for a word study, minister, the words diakonos. You'll be a good minister as long as you put them in remembrance. In other words, one of the marks of a good minister is reminding people of things they already know. That old-time religion, you got it. Anyway. So, folks, you may have already known this. If you do, that's good. If you don't, now you've learned something. And I'm going to get off the podcast today because I've had a big day, and I'm ready to tie a bow on it. I've got some exciting news. Tomorrow, for Christianity Now, Todd Clippard will be joining me. Aaron Dotson is one of the directors for Camp Dakota, and he is in Floral, Arkansas, in the hot heat, sleeping without an air conditioner in a cabin somewhere. Well, he's probably got an air conditioner. Anyway, he's sleeping in the woods, and he has no cell phone service, no nothing, taking care of a bunch of youngins with a bunch of other Christian counselors. So he won't be able to do the show tomorrow. but Todd Clipper is going to set in for him. And so I'm going to be putting some stuff together. We're going to look at some videos and whatnot, and we hope that every one of you tune in for that. Well, folks, that's all I've got here. Remember, consider going to www.beamindfulsoul.com and avail yourself of the services that LaBeth Brewer has to offer. Consider supporting us as podcasters, supporting us monetarily. Thank you so much to everybody that commented. Remember that giving us a like, a thumbs up, a share, that is huge in the algorithm. Be the algorithm for us. And go to YouTube at Christianity Now Streams and subscribe to the YouTube channel. God bless every one of you. Thank you, John Exum. Love you too, brother. And this has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. We'll catch you on the flip side.